appreciate you being here today in the house of the Lord. If you have your Bibles, turn with me, please, to the book of John, chapter number 14. John, chapter number 14. I guess it's one of the most familiar passages in the Word of God, but I've never really have thought about it as a message leading in towards Christmas, but I believe the Lord wants us to see something here today that I trust that He will use in our hearts in the days ahead. Thank each one of you for being here. I need your prayers this morning. Pray the Lord just help us to speak the Word of God. Help us to hear the Word of God. The Bible said in John chapter 14, in verse number 1, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me, for in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, he said, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. And Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I want to ask the Lord to help us and stir our hearts. Brother Steve, yesterday was a great day, a great kickoff, so to speak, in towards the Christmas season. But I want the Lord to prepare our hearts this morning, and I'd like to preach on some things to be aware of as we enter into the Christmas season. Some things to be aware of. Not beware of, be aware of, aware of. Some things that we need to have our attention focused upon. Some things that need to grip our mind. In the world, people's minds are going to be gripped with everything under the sun. But God's people ought to be different than the world. Not just to be different. We ought to be different because He made us different. We ought to think different. We ought to act different. Somebody help me this morning. We ought to dress different. I mean, that's just true. I mean, there ought to be a difference all the way around. Our conversation ought to be different than that of the world. And so this morning, I want to talk about some things to be aware of as we enter into this Christmas season. Pray for me. Let's pray together. Father, thank you this morning for the Word of God. I pray, Father, this morning that You'd fill me, our Lord, with Your Spirit. God, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. I pray the blessed Holy Spirit of God would help us. Lord, You know my heart and my desire is to be a help. God, I found out a long time ago I can't help anybody else if You don't first help me. Father, I pray today that You'd help us all. Lord, give the Word of God our undivided attention. Lord, not to be thinking about lunch or dinner or next week or Christmas Day, but right now just to be thinking on the Word of God, meditating, Lord, on what we're hearing. Lord, I pray You'd save the lost. God, there's some that are real near to hell. And I pray, God, today, Lord, that You'd save that one that stares to hell. Lord, I pray today You'd strengthen the children of God. God, I pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen and amen. Some things we need to be aware of. I've got four things here in front of me in the chapter, in John chapter number 14. And some of these I think you'll understand, and some of them may be kind of old news to you, but I believe there may be something here for us today that we've not thought about along the way as we enter into the Christmas season. The first thing that I see that we should be aware of is broken hearts. As we enter in towards the Christmas season, we're going to be in different places, having conversations with different people, and You need to understand and be aware that as we enter into the Christmas season, there are going to be some people you're going to encounter that have a broken heart. The Word of God said here, let not your heart be troubled. Jesus is telling his disciples, I'm going away. I'm going to die. But he said, don't let your heart be troubled. Someone said one time, it's okay to be in trouble. Just don't let the trouble get in you. And I think that's a good way to put it. Amen. When the trouble gets inside of us, then we have a troubled heart. But Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. And I believe this morning that it would do you and I well to understand and realize that we're going to encounter people as we go in towards Christmas Day whose hearts are absolutely broken. They're not thinking about gifts. They're not thinking about trees. They're not thinking about lights. They're not thinking about a new TV or a new TV program. Their hearts are consumed and broken with something that's went on in their life. There are people who this time last year had a spouse, and now that spouse is gone, whether it's by way of heaven or by way of hell. Listen to me. There are people that die without God and go to hell. Everybody don't go to heaven when they die. Or whether it's by way of divorce, I'm just telling you, beloved, there are people that you and I are going to encounter between now and Christmas whose hearts are absolutely broken. And I believe God wants to use his people to be a comfort to that heart that's broken. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. Don't let your heart be troubled. We was thinking, visiting yesterday, Brother John and I went by to visit with Jim and his wife. And that makes the second time, Brother John, she's told me that. They can't even hardly, they think about the heart section over there, the ICU. Their daughter, 48 years old, Brother Steve, went in the hospital with a heart attack and 30 days later went out into eternity. And they every time they go in that section of the hospital, and that's exactly where he's going to be when he comes out of surgery tomorrow, in that same unit, in that same wing. I'm just telling you, there are people in the world whose hearts are broken, and you and I ought to be aware of that. Some people are going to have a broken heart, and there are going to be people that are going to be rude to them, going to be cold towards them, going to shove them out of the way. But God's people hadn't ought to be that way. We ought to be more sensitive to the Holy Ghost than that. We see somebody walking around with their chin down on the ground. Maybe we could just speak a kind word and say something troubling you in your heart or in your mind. I'm telling you, there's people in here. Listen, Mama and Papa's gone. Mom and Dad is gone. And there are people with troubled hearts through the Christmas season. We ought to be aware of that. There are people with a broken heart. The second thing we ought to be aware of through the Christmas season, a lot of people not even going to think about this, but we ought to think about the believer's home. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Look what it said right here. It said, in my Father's house are many mansions. I tell you, I'm talking to God's people now. There are people that name the name of Christ that's going to get tore out of the frame over the things of this world, when I believe if we just be aware, listen, this world's not our home. We're just passing through. The Word of God said here, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. You say, preacher, how in the world do you know we have a home in glory land that outshines the sun? Because God said so. The believer's home. What if God's people were not consumed with the stuff on the shelf, but with the Savior of the world and the home that He's gone to prepare for us? Wouldn't we be a lot better off? Amen. Broken hearts, we ought to be aware of that. The believer's home. I tell you what, I thank God I have a home on earth. I do.
I thank God I don't have to lay down when the frost is hitting the ground out there, lay down under a shed and wake up, my friend, to the frost melting on top of the shed and the water dripping on me. I thank God I have a roof over my head. I thank God I've got a way to heat the house. I thank God I've got windows and doors. I thank God, beloved, listen, there's something in the cabinets to eat. But I thank God, listen, the best this world's got to offer will not even begin to compare with the home that God has went to prepare for me and you as the children of God. We ought to be aware of broken hearts. We ought to be aware of the believer's home. Let me give you this. We ought to be aware of the blessed hope. You say, preacher, what do you mean? There are a lot of people, you know, they're not even thinking. Hey, let me tell you something. December 25th may never roll around this year. You say, preacher, what is the blessed hope? Jesus said, if I go. Well, let me ask you a question. Did he go? And prepare a place for you? What's the next thing he said? He said, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Let me tell you something this morning. I believe with all of my heart, listen, we ought to be aware that there are broken hearts that we're going to encounter. We ought to be aware of the believer's home. This world is not our home. But we ought to be aware, honey, Jesus is coming, of the blessed hope of the born-again believer as we enter into this Christmas season. John starts in the Revelation. I think my Bible, I'm almost positive, I use the Scofield Bible, but it says the revelation of St. John the Divine. And I tell you, I just don't like that. You can call me whatever you want to, because if you'll just read the first chapter in the book of Revelation, it's not a revelation of St. John, it's a revelation of Jesus Christ, our Savior, our Lord. But John, in Revelation chapter number 1, he sees the glorified Christ. He's exiled on the Isle of Patmos. They put him out there for the word of God and for his testimony. And I tell you, things are going good in America right now as far as the attitude, my friend, of the politicians, or some of the politicians, towards the things of God and towards the church. But do you know that can turn like a light switch? I'm telling you, beloved, listen, there may be a day when you and I'll be in trouble because of the word of God and our testimony. John, he wasn't griping. He wasn't complaining. He was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. He was able to hear the voice of the Lord. He saw the glorified Christ. In Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3, he sees the church of the living God. He sees some of the flaws in the church. He sees some of the things the church is accomplishing for the glory of God. And then in chapter 4, he sees those words and hears them, says, come up hither! And I believe the church is out of here in the rapture. He sees the 24 elders before the throne. He sees in chapter 6 the time of Jacob's trouble, the great tribulation that comes upon the world. In chapter number 19, he sees the marriage supper of the Lamb. Isn't it going to be wonderful? In chapter number 20, he sees the great white throne judgment. In chapter 21, he sees the new Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven as a bride adorned for her husband. I'm telling you, he sees the gates. He sees the walls. He sees the time when there's no more curse. No more tears, no more sorrow, no more pain. And I tell you, you get to the end of the Revelation. Old John, after seeing everything he saw, said the best thing that could happen, even so, come, Lord Jesus. I'll tell you something right now. Some people, the best thing that could happen this Christmas season is an iPhone. I wonder when they're going to get a U phone. Say amen. Best thing some people could get, my friend, listen, is a new this or a new that, a new gadget or the latest game. I'm telling you, beloved, Jesus is coming. And the blessed hope of the believer ought to be on the forefront of the believer's mind. We ought to be aware of that as we enter into the Christmas season. You say, preacher, you preached the first 3 points in your message in 10 minutes. We'll mark that down somewhere. That'd be worth something one day. But hang on. This last point's the one I was wanting to get to. I want you to think about this. Some things we need to be aware of as we enter into this Christmas season. Broken hearts, they're everywhere. The believer's home, it's not here, it's in heaven. Amen. The blessed hope. But I want you to be aware also, and I want you to go with me now in this chapter. Let's look at it just a little bit, of a beautiful harvest. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Well, you remember in John chapter 4, Jesus told his disciples, he said, say not ye there yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. He said, I say unto you, lift up your eyes, for the fields are white already to harvest. Let me tell you something. Yesterday's proof, isn't it, Brother Steve? You've said it over and over, and it's true. People's hearts tend to be a little bit more tender, seem to be a little bit more geared towards the things of God. We're looking for people to come and see the Christmas play. I tell you, I'm looking for God to speak to hearts. Let me tell you this. I believe with all of my heart that there is a harvest that God wants you and I to be involved in as we enter into the Christmas season. You say, preacher, yeah, that's good, but you didn't find it in the text. Well, really? Look at verse 4. Jesus said, whither I go, you know, and the way you know. Now listen to me. Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Let me tell you something right now. We're living in the belt buckle of the Bible Belt. But there are people, individuals, families that have no idea what Christmas is really all about. Beloved, Christmas is not really all about what I give you and what you give me. Glory to God. Christmas is about what He gave us when He gave His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Beloved, I want you to think about a harvest. It's a beautiful harvest. I want you to notice. You see, I noticed Thomas. Go with me to John chapter 20. Let me read a text to you. I think it's a wonderful text. In John chapter 20, and we'll begin to read in verse number 24. I'm sure you've probably heard it before, but the Lord wants us to magnify it. Thomas, verse 24. But Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. Jesus had come and revealed himself. He had just walked in, the door being shut. That's what the Bible said. Their hearts were troubled. He said, peace be unto you. Glory to God. Amen. Watch this now. Thomas wasn't there. One of the 12 called Didymus was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. Buddy, that's a bold statement, ain't it? Can you say that this morning? Listen, not with eyes that are natural, but can you say with an eye that's spiritual, thank God Almighty, I've seen the Lord. Amen. I saw myself that night. I saw the Lord that night. I saw where I was headed that night. And I saw somebody offered me the gift of God, which is eternal life, that night. I received that gift. The Bible said here, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands. I want y'all to remember this story when I get to something else. Thomas said, except I shall see the print of the nails and put my finger into the print of the nails and thrust my hand into his side. Listen to this bold statement. I like Thomas. You don't have any idea, beloved, that you don't have to question where he stands. He said, unless I see it, I will not believe. That's what he said. I like people who are bold enough to let you know where they stand. I like to watch Andy Griffith, that old fella that heads up the Darling family. He says this a lot, just so we knows where you stand. Amen. Need to know where you stand. Where do you stand this morning? You say, well, I stand with Thomas. Unless I see, I will not believe. Well, I got news for you. You're too late to see with these eyes. Ain't nobody gets saved today seeing with these eyes. I'm going to explain something in a minute. It'll be a blessing to you. Watch this. The Word of God said, except I shall see the in his hands the print of the nails, put my finger into the print of the nails and thrust my hand inside, I will not believe. After 8 days, again, his disciples were with him and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus. Glory, glory, glory. Aren't you glad he comes again? Say amen. The Bible said, then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. Then said he to Thomas, You say, preacher, Thomas ain't said anything yet. How come the Lord is saying, reach hither thy hand, reach hither thy finger? I'm going to tell you why. Because Jesus doesn't need to be in your presence. He can be sitting on the throne of God like he is this morning. He already knows what you're thinking in your heart. He didn't need a disciple to tell him what Thomas said. He already knew what Thomas said. He knew where he stood. Watch this now. The word of God said, then said he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger. Behold my hands. Reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side. And be not faithless, but believing. Boy, I believe God would say that to somebody this morning. Be not faithless, but believing. You say, preacher, what's the importance of believing? What's the difference whether I believe or not? I'll tell you the difference, heaven or hell. The Bible said here, and Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. And the word of God said, Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen. Glory to God, somebody ought to run a bench right there. We're blessed because we haven't seen, but we have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. You say, preacher, what about this beautiful harvest? Let me give you something here. Number one, it's beautiful because of its preeminence. You say, preacher, what do you mean? It's all about Jesus. It's all about him. I tell you, there's nothing wrong with talking about the church, inviting people to church. Nothing wrong with talking about the play, inviting people to the play. Nothing wrong with talking about Sunday school and inviting people to Sunday school. But I tell you something right now, beloved, we ought to realize as God's people, it's all about him. The word of God said here, listen, you say, preacher, where'd you get that in the text? Look at verse 6. Jesus said, I am. He's not talking about anybody else. He said, I'm the way. I'm the truth. I'm the life. I say, thank God it's a beautiful harvest because of the preeminence of the Savior that's drawing men and women, boys and girls into himself. Word of God said, Jesus said, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. You say, preacher, he ain't never drawn me. Let me tell you something right now. Let me tell you something. You better get a hold of this. It's dangerous to go through this world and say things like that. I'm going to tell you why. The word of God said, if I be lifted up. Now listen, that's not talking about the preacher lifting him up. Nothing wrong with application, the church lifting him up. Nothing wrong with that. The next verse said, this said, he signifying what death he would die. Honey, Jesus was lifted up on an old rugged cross. And the word of God said, just as sure as he died on an old rugged cross, he will draw all men unto him. I'm going to tell you something right now. Maybe somewhere if you'd look at it closely, God gave you a little bit of light. You say, preacher, what are you getting at? I'm going to tell you something right now. If you shrug that little bit of light, you may never get any more light. God's looking for somebody to do the right thing with that little bit of light. I'm telling you, you say, preacher, you ain't got no Bible for that. Yes, I do. Cornelius. Cornelius, the word of God said his alms came up, his prayers came up for a memorial. God said, I see that man's doing all that he knows how to do. Peter, go down there and tell him how to get in. You got people in the world worshiping the moon, worshiping the stars. You got other people in the world wondering at the moon, wondering at the stars. And God will send light into the darkest places in the world when people will do what's right with a little bit of light that they have. Beloved, we're living in a gospel preaching area of the United States of America. I believe people are gospel hardened. I've heard that all my life. I've heard that all my life. I tell you, there's a danger in being gospel hardened. I believe with all of my heart, you better act on what God's saying to you. Word of God talking about a beautiful harvest. It's beautiful because of its preeminence. Number two, it's beautiful because of its plainness. I'm glad I don't have to go down here to the doctor's office or go down here to the mall or go down here to the hospital and say, now listen, folks, here's a dozen ways that you can get to heaven. Now, you just pick which one of them suits you the best. You say, preacher, what do you mean, plainness? Here's what I mean. Jesus said, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. You'll either go by Calvary, you'll either go by Christ, or you will not go. That is plain English, and God made it easily understood. I thank God for the plainness of the gospel. You say, preacher, why has my life never changed? I'll tell you why. You've never trusted Christ. You say, preacher, now that's a bold statement. Well, back it up with Scripture. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You say, preacher, why can't I get saved? Maybe because you love your sin. You say, preacher, why can't I trust Jesus? Maybe because you took that light that he gave you a month ago or a year ago or 5 years ago and you buried it. Told him to keep it. I'm telling you, it's a dangerous thing. It's a beautiful harvest. Many of God's people are going to go from here right on through Christmas, right on through the first of the year, and not realize that there are sinners dying without God all the way around them, and they're not aware of the harvest that God has placed us in. Beloved friend, God wants us to be a witness. The Word of God is talking about a beautiful harvest. Watch this. It's beautiful because of its preeminence. It's beautiful because of its plainness. Watch this. It's beautiful because of its pattern. Look at verse number 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, Jesus said, he that believeth on me, how many of them we got here today? Unashamed. Thank God I'm a born again Bible believer. He said, he that believeth on me, watch this now, the works that I do, shall he do also. Let me ask you something right now. Was Jesus involved in getting men saved by the grace of God? Forgiven by the grace of God? You better believe it. Now watch this. This blows my mind. The pattern in the harvest. Jesus said, what I've done, you're going to do. And greater works than these shall he do. Listen, I'm not going to split hairs with you, but I believe I'm right. He said, because I go to my Father. You say, preacher, how in the world could Jesus say of you and I that we would do a greater work? How could he say to his disciples, you're going to do a greater work than I've done? I'll tell you why I believe. I believe you could say, well, because look at the time frame. Jesus died when he was 33 and a half years old. I don't believe that's what it's talking about. I tell you why I believe it's a greater work. In the days of Jesus, the Jews required a sign. And God gave them a sign. Time and time and time again, men trusted the Lord Jesus because of what they saw in his life. And I believe it's a greater work today because all you and I have is all that you and I need, a Bible to share with people, and the blessed Holy Ghost helps people to believe the Word of God though they have never seen anything. The songwriter said, I wasn't there when he walked the shores of Galilee. I wasn't there when he made the blinded eyes to see. Oh, blessed be God, I was there the night he showed me my lost condition. Hey, well, I was there the night that he loved me and forgave me. The pattern, it's a greater work. Watch this, not only a pattern in the harvest, but a prayer for the harvest. Lots of people are going to go from now to Christmas, listen to me. Lots of kids, they're going to pray, oh God, I hope I get this. Listen to me. Oh God, I hope I get this. Oh God, I hope I get this. You say, preacher, why ain't them kids concerned about their friends that are unsaved? Maybe because mom and dad ain't concerned about anybody that's unsaved. The Bible said here, watch it now. The Bible said in verse 13, and whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do. Who are you and I asking God to save right now? By his marvelous grace. You say, you don't have to say, well, God, if it's your will. You don't have to say that when you're praying for a sinner. It's not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. We need to get our will lined up with God's will. Not God's will lined up with our will. It'll never work that way. Oh, beloved friend, it's beautiful because of its pattern. It's beautiful, listen, because of his presence. Look at verse 16. The harvest. You want to feel close to God? You'll never feel any closer to God in this world than when you're walking with Him and interested in the same thing He's interested in. How many knows I'd said it right? You say, preacher, what's Jesus interested in? Same thing He was here. The souls of men. Watch what it said here. Look at it with me. Because of His presence, look at verse 16. And I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another comforter. Jesus said, I'm here to comfort you today, boys, but I'm leaving. And I'm going to pray the Father, and He's going to send you another comforter. Watch this now. That He may abide with you. Somebody tell me them next two words. Forever. I tell you what I'm not going to do. I'm not going to lay down tonight and wonder whether He'll be there in the morning. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, if I stay here, He'll be there in the morning. If I go yonder, He'll be there in the morning. He's going to abide with me forever. The Word of God said, beautiful because of His presence. I tell you, if you want to enjoy the presence of the Lord, you get involved in what He's involved in. Watch this. It's beautiful harvest because of His promise. Look at verse 19. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But you see me, because I live, ye shall live also. Glory to God. You say, preacher, how you know you're going to live forever? Because He lives. He said, because I live, you're going to live also. I told somebody one time I wouldn't get too excited. You're just going to live as long as God does. Amen. I tell you something right now. God's people ought to be thrilled with the thought that He would use the likes of you and I in His harvest. Oh, you say, preacher, I talked to somebody about the Lord, but oh, they were just so hard. Yeah, some of it falls on stony ground. Some of it falls by the wayside. Some of it falls among thorns. But glory to God, blessed be God. Woo! Every once in a while, some of it falls on good ground. Bringing forth fruit. Talked to a guy years ago that sold vacuum cleaners. He said, they told us when you... Now listen, sharing the gospel is not salesmanship. That's what got the church sitting full of lost church members. Help me! There's no conversion outside of the work of the Holy Ghost. There's no 1, 2, 3, repeat after me that gets anybody saved. There's no water and hole that gets anybody saved. There's no church membership that gets anybody saved. There's no amount of money that can be dropped in an offering plate that'll get anybody saved. There's no amount of mission support that'll get anybody saved. It takes the blood of Jesus to get people saved. It takes a working of the Holy Ghost. You have been quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. You remember when He quickened you? Remember when He convicted you? Remember when there was something more important than you? Yes, because of His promise. The Bible said, because I live, you shall live also. Verse 20, and that day, at that day, ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. Now this is kind of a little bit slang here, but that's pretty tight. Say amen. Jesus said, I'm in the Father. And then He said, you're in me, and I'm in you. I think that's pretty tight, don't you? It's pretty close, ain't it? It's beautiful because of His promise. Watch this now. I'm about done. It's beautiful because of its peace. Look down here. I'm talking about the harvest now. When God gives people peace. Honey, when God gives you peace, you won't need anybody to tell you what just happened. When God forgives you of your sin, you won't need anybody to tell you what just happened. I thought about as the choir sang that song, I can tell you now the time, I can take you to the place. I thought about a young lady named Jessica on an airplane, 14,000 feet. We left Atlanta flying to San Antonio on a missions trip into Mexico. are going to boil the story down real quickly. I traded seats with one of our men, so there were seven of us. He got on the flight late, so he was stuck off in the plane by himself. I traded seats with him so that I could read and study a little bit. But God had another plan. I sat down beside of a young lady, 28 years old. Took out my billfold and showed her pictures of my wife and my children. So she'd know in my speaking to her, I didn't have an ulterior motive. We got in the air. It's hard for him to get away at 14,000 feet. I began to tell her about Jesus. I began to tell her about what God had done for me, unbeknownst that she had a godly grandmother in San Antonio and a godly aunt in San Antonio that had been praying for her for years. All I was sitting on that plane was an answer to somebody else's prayer. She got saved. She can tell you the time, but she can't take you to the place. She'd just have to say 14,000 feet somewhere between Atlanta and San Antonio. She got off the plane. She introduced me. We got separated getting our baggage. She introduced me to her aunt and her grandmother. And I said, Jessica, I said, did you tell them what happened? She said, not yet. And the aunt looked at her and said, what's he talking about? What happened? Jessica looked at him and said, I got saved. They come unglued right in front of God, right in front of a crowd in that airport. Why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you tell me? I said, I'll tell you why. She knew you would lose it right here in front of God and everybody else. She was going to wait to tell her. You say, preacher, it's a beautiful harvest. You mark my word. Give somebody a gospel track. Invite somebody to the house of God. Realize somebody's heart's broken. Maybe all they need is 10 seconds of your time. Maybe all they need is you just bend over and pick something up out of the floor that they dropped. Maybe all they need to know is there's somebody in this world that's got a heart that's warm, because this world is full of people that have a heart that's cold and indifferent towards the things of God. It's beautiful because of its promise. It's beautiful because of its peace. Peace I leave with you. Verse 27, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Ye have heard how that I said, I go away and come again unto you. I'm going to teach you something that God taught me last night as I studied. Y'all forgive me just a minute. I want to talk to my wife. Honey, God showed me something. If you do this for me, I believe God will be honored. He said, preacher, you've done lost it. I don't believe so. Let's read on. Jesus said, if you loved me, you would rejoice. Well, they see there's going to come a day, honey, when this body's going to give up. You love me, don't you? I want you to rejoice. I'll be in his presence. I'll never hurt again. You say, preacher, you've lost your mind. I just read you the Bible. Beloved, the Bible said in the book of Ecclesiastes, a good name is rather to be chosen than riches. And it said the day of one's death more than the day of one's birth. We've got it all backwards. We're rejoicing when they come into the world, and we're sorrowing when they leave the world. And Jesus said, if you love me, you would rejoice. You say, preacher, you've lost it. No. Actually, this evening, God reminded me. Standing over there at the church with mom and dad. How many people said this? Y'all sure are handling this awful well. Y'all sure are handling. Boy, help me last night, Brother Gary, when God showed me that. You know what God said? Listen, yeah, I miss my daddy. Yeah, I miss my mama. Yeah, I miss my granny. Yeah, I miss my grandpa. But God said, we ought to rejoice. I know where they are. They're in his presence. Let me ask you this. If you could go to heaven and you could interview the folks that's there, how many knows you're not going to find anybody? Brother Red, if we went and said, Brother Fred, wouldn't you like to just go back down there for a little while, maybe 5 years, maybe 10 years? He'd look at you and say, son, you have lost your mind. You say, preacher, what do you mean? It's so good where you and I are going as the people of God. If we only knew how good it was, we would rejoice that our loved ones are in His presence. Brother Mike, couldn't you just see walking up the koi? Amen, brother. And saying, Daddy, come on back down. Come on back down for a little while. He'd say, son, you're out of your mind. You just spend 5 minutes over here and you won't go back either. You say, preacher, you've not interpreted the Bible right. I believe I got it just exactly the way God wants it. Sister Kathy, when God showed me that last night, you remember sending me the text. Kathy's mom is the last of 6 kids. Dave went home to be with the Lord this week. I said, how is your mom doing? I think it was something like this, amazingly well, or something like that. I said, whoa, glory. You know what, mom knows it ain't going to be long. Hallelujah. I'm going to be out of this sin-benign and sin-cursed world. I'm going to be out of this sin-cursed body. You say, preacher, your body cursed by sin. You better believe it, honey. We wouldn't hurt. We wouldn't think wicked thoughts if our body wasn't cursed by sin. I'm going to be out of it soon. I want Bob and Charity and Jeremy and Megan, Amanda, Elizabeth and Cody, this Eve, I want them to rejoice. You say, preacher, why do you see that sorrow? That's the human side. Help me. That's why God said, sorrow not even as others which have no hope. That's why Paul said that. In other words, when you see Jesus, He comes by there that day, and the Bible said He sat thus on the well. He was weary on His journey. What you're seeing that day is the human side. What you're seeing that day when Lazarus died and the Word of God said Jesus wept, He's letting you see the human side. But I'm going to tell you something right now. For God's people, there ought to be something running the show besides the human side. There ought to be God's side. The spiritual side we can yield to. Watch this. I'm going to give you something real quickly. The little girl was taking an even walk with her father. Wonderingly, she looked up at the stars and exclaimed, oh, Daddy, if the wrong side of heaven is so beautiful, what must the right side be like? We're looking up on the bottom side. Help me. Little girl, her grandmother was doing cross stitch. She was sitting down in the floor. Her grandmother was in the chair doing cross stitch. And she said, grandmother, what are you doing? She said, honey, I'm making a beautiful picture. She'd take that thread in and out and in and out and in and out. She said, no, grandmother, it's not beautiful. She was looking at the bottom. Back there's where you had to cut the thread, where you had to join the thread. Back there's where the knots were. See, grandmother wasn't interested in something being beautiful on that side. She was interested in something being beautiful. Help me. No wonder over in the book of Psalms it said something like this. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. In other words, Brother Steve, if some way or another we could just see it like he does, we'd say, how precious. How precious. I'm going to tell you something right now. I know people right now that are nearing the shore. And I got sense enough to know that there are people that are nearing the shore that I don't even know about it right now. But I'm going to tell you what, for God's children, that shore is beautiful. And what God is saying to us, some things we ought to be aware of this Christmas season. Everywhere we go, somebody will have a broken heart. We ought to be aware of the believer's home. This world's not our home. That'll keep you from fighting over stuff at the Walmart. That'll keep you from running in front of somebody to get checked out. That'll make you want to let somebody else go in front of you. You know, it's customary. I've always thought that it's customary. Somebody's standing back here and they got one item. Somebody else got a basket full. It's just customary. Say, you come on. You know what's not customary? Well, I'll do this, Bo Steve. Just see what people look like. I got one item and say, that person with the basket full, you just come on. You say, preacher, that's backwards. That's about the way God's people ought to be. Backwards of everything this world's doing. Amen. I'm just glad you come this morning. How many believes we ought to be involved in this beautiful harvest? It's harvest time. Everywhere we go, there are going to be people that need the Lord. Multitudes of people that need the Lord. That need you and I to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Let's bow for prayer. Father, thank you today for the privilege to preach. Lord, thank you for John chapter 14. Thank you for the preeminent one, Lord, in the Bible, all the way from Genesis to Revelation. It's about Jesus, pointing men and women, boys and girls to Jesus. Lord, I really didn't understand. Lord, I almost felt guilty when Mom and Dad left this world. As people come by and said, y'all sure are handling this awful well. God, I don't feel guilty anymore. I believe you were just undergirding us and you were helping us to know Daddy stood in the choir for years and sang the song, what a day that'll be when my Jesus I shall see. Lord, he got to see him. To be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. Lord, the truth is sometimes God's people have a hard time believing God's word. Help us, Lord. Forgive us of our unbelief. Increase and strengthen our faith. Make heaven real to us. Make the promise and the presence of God real to us today. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus, bless your people.